So, you know, the paradigm of metastasis, where a primary tumor starts to grow and draws the growth of new blood vessels to feed it. And what makes cancer particularly deadly is metastasis, the formation of distant tumors, secondary tumors. So I think the people at this meeting, and, you know, more generally, a lot of people working in the PSOC network are trying to understand that process and maybe control it or disrupt it.
So tell me how it all works from beginning to end, but not in too much detail.
Okay. So the current thinking is that for some reason, cancer cells in the primary tumor become invasive and leave the primary tumor, migrate through the surrounding tissues, and if they can enter into the circulation, now cancer cells have access to the entire body. And so what exactly the cancer cells do when they enter the circulation is another topic that we're certainly interested in, and other people as well. Certainly, when cancer cells are in the environment of blood, there's a lot going on. There's lots of proteins and blood cells, leukocytes and platelets. And so some of the people here started to look at those interactions between cancer cells and leukocytes and platelets. And so the next question is, how do cancer cells survive in the circulation? Because many solid tumor cells are typically of epithelial type, where to thrive and survive, they need to be spread out and attached to extracellular matrix. So if they're suspended and floating around in blood, the idea is many of them will undergo anoikis, programmed cell death. But if they can survive in the circulation, then maybe they can make a journey to a distant organ and form a new tumor. And so it's believed that cancer cells might have a better time of surviving in the circulation if they attach to platelets or to proteins like fibrin, or if they're assembled into small aggregates. And I think we saw some really nice data yesterday showing surprisingly large aggregates, clumps of cancer cells that are found in blood of cancer patients. And so one of the things that we look at is trying to understand the mechanisms of how cancer cells get back out of the circulation. And so one hypothesis that we have is that cancer cells act like white blood cells, and so they might follow some of the same processes of adhering, rolling, stopping on the blood vessel wall, and then squeezing out of the blood vessel, a process called extravasation, and sort of they find cell junctions and squeeze their way out. And then once they leave the circulation, if they can engraft and find a supportive niche to grow in, then that can result in secondary metastasis. So that's the way, at least the way we think about metastasis, and a lot of others do, as this sort of almost like a cycle, where if a secondary metastasis grows large enough, maybe that will shed cancer cells back into the bloodstream. Some cancers spread not just through the circulatory system, but through soft tissues or through the lymphatic system. And so those are some other routes.
This scenario sounds so complex that it's surprising that so many cells make it, or maybe they don't make it.
It's actually one of the things that's been described is that metastasis is actually a very inefficient process. And so some of the numbers that have been quoted, the highly quoted number is that each gram of tumor tissue can shed 1 million cells per day into the circulation, which is a very scary number. But what we do know is circulating tumor cell counts that we can measure in patients. And it goes from anywhere from, say, 1 cell per milliliter of blood up to 100 cells per milliliter of blood. So they're very, very rare, sort of like a needle in a haystack in terms of trying to find them or detect them. But in truth, maybe 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 1,000,000 cancer cells actually makes it to form a new tumor. And so it is an inefficient process. And some of the ways it seems that we can try and understand it is, as a rare event, apply concepts of statistics and so on to try to understand what makes it work.
Does anyone know how long the cancer cells survive in the bloodstream?
We don't know, and we don't know the circulation time. It's really hard to estimate. The closest data you can get are from animals, most of the experimental evidence so far is taking really big human cancer cells and injecting them into mice. And so in an experiment like that, most of the cancer cells that you inject that way immediately get enlarged in the capillaries of the lungs. You can also get so-called metastasis to other organs that way, but it doesn't seem so realistic as to what's really happening with a human tumor. So a sort of step up from that is to have a primary tumor grow in a mouse, either subcutaneously or spontaneously form it in different organs, and then to wait until the tumor gets large enough that it's starting to shed its own cells into the bloodstream. So that, I think, is a little more realistic.
It is surprising, though, that that sort of experiment hasn't been done yet.
Well, there are certain mice, transgenic mice, that will spontaneously develop tumors. We're starting to look at one that's spontaneously develops prostate cancer, the males, and so we hope to learn a lot from it, because with transgenic mice, you can do a lot of different techniques. You can knock out different genes or try different drug therapies, and so and then afterwards you can get very detailed data of how many tumors there are and where they went.
And your own work, you're working on cell adhesion. How does that play into this?
Yeah, so we build small devices that we think resemble the post-capillary venules, the small blood vessels in vivo. And so we can place whatever molecules are relevant, adhesion receptors and so on, and then flow human cancer cell lines through, or cancer cells spiked into blood, and observe in real time how those cells interact with the surfaces, so we can create the conditions that we think are happening in vivo that allows cancer cells to interact with the blood vessel wall. Some of our colleagues take it a step further and grow endothelium on the inside of microdevices, so that's a step up in realism. A little harder to control, but when you have real endothelial cells, you can actually observe extravasation.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.